Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are continuing our study of the book of Luke. We've called this study The Facts Behind Our Faith, and we're nearing the end of the book right now. It's kind of like, Josh, when you go through a book of the Bible, whether you preach through one or teach through one like this, it almost is as if the book becomes like a friend.
Yeah, for sure. As you walk through it and you meet all the different characters and everything, you get to know it intimately, and it's kind of sad to leave it behind.
Yeah, to say goodbye. So I want you, and I mentioned this a couple days ago, but I want you as well to speak to me about what books of the Bible would you like us to cover? We're still kind of praying about where to go next. So help me with that if you think about it. And we've got a few days left, but just keep that in the back of your mind. Luke chapter 22 in your Bible, we're in verse 47. Jesus has prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He has sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The three that are closest to him have essentially failed him. They didn't watch and pray with him. They slept during this hour of great trial. And the Bible says in verse 47, while he yet spake, so while he was somewhat rebuking the three for their sleeping, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw that what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and of the elders that were come to him, but ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. So this is the actual moment, Josh, where Jesus is arrested for yet-to-be-determined crimes in the middle of the night. The betrayal of Judas has reached fruition. It's a dark, I mean, literally and figuratively, it's a dark hour.
Yeah, a dark hour indeed, especially for those that were with Jesus at this moment. And you see that from this one's reaction. We don't know who it is according to Luke, but we know from John, Peter is the one that cut off the ear of this soldier that came to arrest Jesus as well.
Remember in the upper room that when Judas left, the other disciples had no clue as to why he left. They just assumed the best. He's going to buy some more supplies. He has a special errand. We have the benefit of hindsight, so we know why Judas left. We know the betrayal and all that. But they didn't. So it must have been just a shock to them to see this contingent of guards come with Judas leading them.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note what the Bible says there in verse 47. It says, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them. So here, as you just said, this big contingency of guards and soldiers that Judas brings along with him, obviously they were prepared for whatever was to come their way. They were prepared for the worst. There might be some sort of riot or insurrection here that takes place as they come to arrest Jesus. But yeah, as Judas comes leading this contingency, I'm sure that the other onlookers, the disciples, were shocked at what had just taken place. Here's a man that they had spent the last few years of their life with, that they had trusted their very lives with, and that's now that is now betraying their master.
Yeah, and Jesus saying, Judas, is this really the way it's going to go down? Yeah. Are you going to commit this act of treason through the method of hospitality? Mm-hmm. In other words, you're going to act the friend. Kissing in those days was the way we'd shake hands today. Are you going to express a token of friendship in the very act of betrayal?
Yeah, and really, what a thought. I mean, here Judas comes, and he does what you just said. You know, he kisses Jesus on the cheek, this display of affection, this display of friendship, to identify the one that they need to arrest, to show who the one was that they're looking for. Really the ultimate act of betrayal, because it's not like he comes and points a finger. It's not like he comes and says, there he is. No, he comes and he kisses him on the cheek.
Yeah, and it is this, because we get a picture sometimes in our mind that might be a false picture. So is this a matter of Judas walking with them? Because the Bible says he went before them.
Right.
So, or is this a matter of Judas saying, I really don't want the other guys to know it was me, so I'm going to go first, just kind of watch, and I'm going to go over to him and greet him, then you're going to know who it is. So I feel like this was a private moment just ahead of the arrival of the rest of them, maybe a 100 yards ahead or 50 yards, obviously with an eye shot because they had to see this happen.
Right.
But I think this was the last private word that Jesus said. Yeah. Judas, is this the way you're going to do it?
Yeah, and what, I mean, I can only imagine what Judas must have felt in his heart at that moment. I mean, obviously his heart is hardened. Obviously, you know, he's gone throughout these last few years following Jesus, and these things have risen in his heart along the way. He's been the keeper of the money, we know, and he's been siphoning some of those funds without anybody knowing. But now he comes, and yeah, that's an interesting thought. I never really thought of it that way. But he comes to identify him, maybe, and these are the final intimate moments that he had with this man that he'd been following for the last 3 years.
Yeah, the last word that Jesus said to Judas was a question.
Yeah.
The last thing was a question. It's a clarifying question. Mm. You know, Judas, is this really the way this is going to go down? Questions stir the conscience. Mm-hmm. They stir the conscience. Yeah. You really, really want to do this, Judas. Right. You really want to follow through. And he did. And watch what it says in verse 49. When they that which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? So this goes back to the way they were thinking earlier. But we've got these swords, you know, we got two swords. And Jesus said, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
they weren't thinking in terms of Jesus submitting himself to this plan of God. Jesus didn't need to fight the battle in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had just won the battle in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, they were ready to fight because they hadn't won any battles yet.
Right,
they had slept.
Right.
But Jesus had won the real battle by saying, not my will, but thine be done.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is a good lesson for us today in our, you know, the society in which we live that's always so combative, and everybody always has to have their opinion and always has to be right. And, you know, I think this is a good lesson on mercy that Jesus is giving not only to the disciples, but then by proxy to us through his word today, that, you know, sometimes the gospel wins. Always the love of Christ is going to come out on top. And so, you know, as they say, hey, should we fight? Jesus says, no, put the swords away.
We want to be in control of the timing of justice. We have a sense of justice. It's a skewed sense. And we want justice to be recognized and satisfied always in the moment. And Jesus was teaching a much deeper lesson here, that things had to unfold, and things that were not fair, and things that were going to be hard to watch, but submit to this process. Of course, one smote at the servant. That was Peter. We learned that later, that went headhunting. You know, tell me he was looking for a precision cut of the ear. I think he went for the guy's head and he ducked and he got his ear.
Yep, definitely.
And what an act of mercy that the last miracle that Jesus did as far as healing was this, healing the soldier that had come to arrest him really ahead of his death.
Yeah, I mean, he reaches out and he heals the ear that Peter has just cut off. And as you said, what an act of mercy. And Jesus says there in verse number 51, suffer ye thus far. In other words, hey, guys, stop. That's enough. You know, my time has come. This is it. And so let's stop with the violence and let's let the process take place. Let's let the process happen. And so often, I think we are like Peter. We always want to be quick to defend and we always want to be quick to give our opinion. Sometimes we just need to stop.
Right.
And just let the process take place and let God's love win in the end.
And letting it take place is not the same as endorsing its taking place.
Right.
Jesus wasn't justifying their behavior or the validity of this arrest. Matter of fact, he speaks to that.
Yep.
He said, guys, I was out there every single day in public teaching in the temple. You could have apprehended me. You made this effort in the middle of the night to come across the Kidron Valley, to come to this remote spot to get me. You know, he's just making the case in front of them. You guys are cowards.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. To your point, he says that in the very next verse. You know, you've come out against me as a thief with swords and with staves. You know, I've ministered with you in the temple or beside you in the temple for all this time, and yet now here you come at me like this. This isn't necessary, really, is what he's saying.
He gives them really two. He labels them in two ways, or rather, gives two teachings at the end of this passage. Number one, this is your hour. So there are, when you just insert yourself in time, there are particular times when it seems as if evil is winning. Mm-hmm. There are times when it seems as if God's not fair. There's a time when it seems as if evil has the upper hand. But that's all it is. Mm-hmm. It's just a moment in time, because we know that ultimately justice always prevails. So he references timing, that this is your hour. Then he said, and the power of darkness. So there is a time frame in which it seems like evil is winning, like evil has the power of darkness. But of course, we know that that is just a finite period of time.
Yeah, again, we, you and I and all of us listening to this podcast today have the privilege of being able to look back and see what happened. So we already know what's going to happen in the next few hours, and we know what's going to happen over the next few days. Well, the disciples didn't. You know, those that are around Jesus didn't. And so as Jesus says this, I can only imagine that the disciples' hearts they're incredibly heavy. You know, they're knowing now that everything that Jesus has been telling them about him going to die and all of these things, they're coming to pass right before their eyes. So this is a dark time for them. Yeah. And Jesus recognizes that, but it's not always going to be a dark time.
And he spoke it to them. This is your hour.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Guys. You know, enjoy your victory. Enjoy your time. It's kind of like getting defeated in a game, you know, in the basketball league. You know, it's like the other team is just, oh, we won. Hey, listen, let them cheer. This is their hour, okay? But that championship game's going to come.
Right, right.
Okay? The season's not over.
That's right, yeah.
So I hate to denigrate this to that illustration, but that's really the idea behind what Jesus said. And so, my friends, I don't know where you are today. I don't know what it is that seems to be like, man, this is just not working out. And something maybe you just need to allow the process to unfold. God's at work. Sometimes it appears that evil has its hour, but understand that God is the scorekeeper, God is the timekeeper. And when the final seconds tick off and when the time has elapsed, you can always know God's winning. And we're going to see that very, very shortly in the passages that will follow. That's all the time we have for today, though. Appreciate you joining us. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.